the far corner of the Panthers' end. A long outlet to Huberdeau, fluttered along. Here, Sevier crashing the net, heads in, goes down below the goal line, puts it out in front. It's jammed at the score! Mike Hoffman found the loose puck before anybody else did. The Panthers have a 1-0 lead. Maneuver off to the near circle in the Panthers zone. Cruises up the near wall, down to our right into the Boston zone. Matheson sidesteps the defender, heads in, a shot, and he scores! End to end, Mike Matheson has given the Panthers a 2-0 lead.
That is coast to coast, a little peanut butter, jelly, and toast.
Yandle up the near side. Over for Huberdeau, top of the far circle. Wrist shot, he scores! Jonathan Huberdeau has given the Panthers a 3-0 lead. Barkov heading in late in the frame. Far side, Hoffman thought about a shot to Yandle. High slot off to Barkov, far circle, Hoffman. One-timer, and he scores! Top shelf on a one-timer, it's Mike Hoffman! And the Panthers have a 4-0 lead, a power play goal with 3.7 seconds left in the second.
Quickly up to Fournier, one-on-one against Winslow. And he puts the shot up, rejected there by Bam. A beautiful block, back with it, Olenek. Olenek, stop, pop, three off the rim. Follow-up slam, oh my! Bam, and a bio with a big right-hand slam. Josh Richardson in the front court, scoreless so far in this game. They've been all over him, not giving him much room. Now to Whiteside against Vucevic. Great spin inside. Oh, and a right-hand flush by Whiteside on Vucevic. Welcome to my Christmas poster.
DJ, long three, not going to go. Look at the rebound, Vucevic. Bodies up, right-hand hook up and good. That's how you win basketball games right there. Plays like that. Nice offensive rebound. Nice hook shot. Nick Vucevic and a nice lead. It's eight again. Gordon got it. He'll throw it up ahead to Augustine. Augustine running the floor but won't shoot it. They'll slow it down out to Ross. Back to DJ. Sideline right, 4-3. Birdied it. Just a big shot by DJ from that right side. Heat'll get it with 1.8 left. They inbound. That'll do it. It is over. And the Magic prevail in South Florida tonight with a 15-point win. What a big second half for Orlando. They trailed at halftime by 4, 50-46. But a big third quarter and an even better fourth quarter to hang on. They win it by 15. The final score, Orlando 105, Miami 90.
And with all of that action from last night, we say good morning to everybody out there. Hopefully a little cooler for everybody today and gets up in the 70s and you end up having a good day. I don't know.
A little cold front coming in.
A little cold front coming in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, it's that time of the year. Yeah. We're going to have some. Throw on a little jacket there today or whatever. Got a little orange bowl function tonight outdoor.
We're going to take the cold weather.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
I'm going to wear short sleeves.
We're okay.
Soak it all in.
Big people are okay when it gets a little cooler.
Yeah. Like the other day, everyone came in here. Now, listen, I told you when we walked in, it was like 49 degrees that one morning when we drove in. But I'm still in shorts and a polo because I want to enjoy this weather. I know I'm going to be cold and I'm going to be that guy. Everyone's going to look at me and go, well, you know. Honestly, you couldn't put on a pair of jeans or bring in a jacket. Nah, I'm so.
Oh, I thought you were just like me and too lazy. Once you get up and you realize
okay,
it's too cold.
Okay, so there's two factors. One, that.
And you're like, I'm not going all the way back in the house and doing that.
Oh, yeah, because you walk out to the car and then you're like, whoa, ho, hey.
Yeah, you got to walk around the dog in the dark and wife going, why are you back in here? Go, leave, go. Hey, we got a lot of stuff to get to here. The thing you didn't hear last night is the Miami Heat once again had that third quarter. 12 points, just awful. It's hard to score 12 points in the NBA, except Phoenix had 9 in a quarter last night to start their game. But that's
hard to do.
Yeah. Nine's really hard to do. It's hard to do in a high school game. But
wait, how much time is left in the show? I got to walk away for a second. Should I pull a Whiteside and just walk away for a little bit?
Well, listen, here it is from last night. Hassan Whiteside, Eric Reed had to call.
And Winslow takes the foul. Hassan Whiteside. Well, you see Whiteside leaving the bench, walking into the corridor to the locker room.
Eric's like, how am I going to handle this?
It can't be easy to see that and not be able to comment. You know, like I know Eric is not going to sit there and rip the guy.
Comment.
He's not going to comment on it. I'd like to hear the away call, the Orlando call last night, or the national call if there was one on what the hell is Hassan
Whiteside
doing?
You don't have to worry. There wasn't a national call.
I know,
because
it was Heat and Magic.
Miami Heat.
I know.
You wouldn't have to worry about that. Matter of fact, any two teams in that division playing, you won't have to worry
That's a good point.
About a national game. But It's amazing. It's back again. Very mature, immature Hassan Whiteside. Grow up. Stop it. You make your point with 40 seconds left. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. You got problems. How many times are he and Eric Spoelstra going to have to get together about this?
Have one of those lunches?
Fourth quarter. Yeah, fourth quarter, and we're on the same page. And the weird part is, it really is. It's getting to the point it's funny. The last game, he had 23 points and 20 rebounds against Utah. Played as big a double-double as the center's going to have this season. I mean, it's not his first one. And then he turns around. Last night, a great teaser, gets off to a great start, goes 5 for 5 in the first quarter, just really got off to a nice start, and you're going, wow, he's going to have another one of those big boy double-doubles. Comes out in the third quarter, doesn't play well, and of course, Spo, and he's not making free throws right now. Spo takes him.
4 for his last 28, by the way.
Spoelstra takes him out of the game, and he doesn't get back in. And then to make his point that he's upset and going to pout like an 8-year-old, maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's 6 or 7-year-old.
Yeah, there's an 8-year-old out there that's pissed
at you
now.
He stood up, and he walked off the court. And it wasn't, I got to go to the bathroom walk. It was a slow,
I'm pissed off,
disgruntled, yeah. And went up and shot free throws, which, by the way, he should have just stayed there all night and shot free throws. As bad as he's been, now shooting under 50% on the season.
It's hard to go 4 for your last 28 on the free throw line.
That, by the way, that is hard to do.
That's
that
hard.
Would have been hard for Wilt Chamberlain.
Shaq and Wilt, yeah. Those are two guys I thought about.
And all the guys through the years that have struggled with free throw shooting. But it's bad. And by the way, I'm not saying it's all Hassan Whiteside. Spo should know because he's missed now. He hasn't been playing a lot in these fourth quarters. They've had talks. He doesn't play. I'm sure he's looking at the numbers. And you look at the numbers in the box score, and you see 25 minutes. You see 6 of 7 from the field and the great start. And you're going, what the hell happened? How can a guy get off to such a great start and then not play in the fourth quarter? And the coach didn't like what he saw, obviously. And we got to see the Bammeister last night play a lot late in the game. So that was it. And, of course, that's the story today. Like, you get up, if you didn't see it, and you go to the lead stories on all the big sports websites, and there it is, Hassan Whiteside leaves the bench. So that's where they are. Usually, Riley doesn't tolerate this kind of stuff. I'm really curious to see how they come out and handle it. It's a bad look. It's weird. The guy's third in rebounding. I think number one in blocks. He's, you know, everybody knows he gets up in the morning. He's a double double. He always
also leads
has
the
been.
League in immaturity. He's number one.
Well, no,
in
no,
immaturity.
He's number one in that. If we oh, had
no,
that,
yeah, well, he's tied for first. Yeah.
Or who's taking the most maturity pills?
Yeah,
he's.
It's really
he's
ridiculous.
Right
like what goes on with this guy? Like I don't understand. I mean,
it's a real bitch move.
It
last
is.
Night.
Of course,
I mean,
it is.
It really is to make your point with 40 seconds left. Like, let me get up and take my basketball and go home so you guys can't finish the game because you're not letting me play enough.
That's it.
And I was like, wow, I remember being a kid, and every so often you got the one basketball from the one kid that had a few bucks, and his mom used to buy him new basketball. So we used to use them and wear them out, and we let him play when we could. And then when he didn't play enough, he goes, I'm going home. You guys aren't letting me
I'm
play.
I'm taking my ball.
And he's going home. He said, grab the ball. We're sitting there. We're like, hey, man, we don't have a ball. Hey, we'll bring it home to you, Johnny. And so.
I wonder what Pat Riley, when he sees that last night, what he really
it's
is
just
thinking
the
about.
Same thing.
I know it is.
Whether he's right or wrong, you know, for people, because there's going to be people ripping Spoelstra. And I get it. Listen, I'm not huge on Spoelstra's night-to-night rotation, and I always say that. But it's still a real childish thing. I'm old school, and I still believe things need to be handled. If you're that upset, first thing you do when you get off the court, back in, you go in and talk to Spoelstra. Or better yet, you cool off and talk to him first thing this morning, which they're going to do anyway. It's just going to be a little different because everybody in the NBA and in the country got to hear or see it last night, him walking out. But it's just... It's the same in any sport. Any guy, any sport. A guy leaves when he's not supposed to because he's not playing. And this goes for any of them. Or he didn't get the pinch hit in the ninth inning. Or he's taken off the ice and he just decides at the last second to leave. It's just
childish, immature.
It's just a really child. I mean, it's one of the
it's
most.
It's not heat culture.
Childish. No, no, it's a long way from that. Although it's getting to be the heat culture because we've seen it now for the last couple of years. I am curious to see how Spo. You know, he tried to spin it with the whole team and the frustration of the way everybody played last night because they were so bad with 12 points in the third quarter and the turnovers, and they were 2 for 5 from the free throw. They shot 5 free throws last night, 5 in the whole game, 5 free throws. There are guys in the league that average almost double that in free throws every night.
Correct.
So it was real bad. And so why we got all that going on, that's going to be – seems like the only time we have good stories around here in town right now is if we got drama. We get to be a big story. And
well, if you're not winning, isn't that what you're looking for at that point? Do you think, you know, you walk into like a kid's house or you walk in there and you see like the countdown to Christmas, and it's like every morning the kid wakes up and takes another like thing off the wall. Now it's 12 days or 11 days. You think Pat Riley's got one of those up in his office now?
With him?
With countdown to Hassan's contract being over. So he just has to get rid of it.
I just think they. Bama's energy, man. He is a walking cup of coffee. The guy, he's ready to go, man. When he gets in there, he does some athletic things and everything else. But I don't know. I'm curious how everybody feels about a guy with 40 seconds left.
Just walks out?
Just a guy that starts. He doesn't finish, but he starts the game, leaves, and he's one of the leading rebounders in the NBA. It was just weird, though, because he got off to such a great start. He had like a perfect first quarter. He goes 5 for 5, had some rebounds. You're going, uh-oh, there's a big boy double-double coming up tonight. Another one of those bad boys. And, of course, we've seen it. Heat fans have seen him do the 20 and 20s and 23 and 20 the game before, even though he's struggling with his free throw shooting. He gets so many point-blank shots and so many offensive rebounds, so close to the basket. He always shoots a high percentage most of the time, although he's missed a lot of short shots too. But it just I don't know, man. I'm just tired of a guy making that much money. Stop pouting and just play. Are you serious? You're making $20 million a year, and you're acting like that?
20.
You're acting 25. Like a 10-year-old? Come on, man. It's just, like, stop it. Stop it. It's just, it's getting old. We got a lot more stuff to get to, including an old guy that returned last night and looked super special, Roberto Luongo. How about that? Comes back and gets a shutout for the Panthers last night. We got that. Plus more drama in Green Bay that you're not going to want to miss. We'll have more of that, too, coming for you. And what will it take for the Dolphins to beat the New England Patriots coming to town here?
Ooh, I can't wait to hear that.
Oh, yeah. We got all kinds of stuff coming up. Yeah, oh, yeah. All that stuff on
all that stuff
on the big tees, man. Yeah. First thing in the morning, we got a little CBS TV to do with those beautiful ladies coming up. We'll be right back.
Radio.com.
I believe I will not coach again.
Are you fairly certain?
Certain, yes.
Do you anticipate staying in Columbus and being around the program?
I love Columbus. I love Muirfield where I live. I've always been a Buckeye as long as I can remember. Gene Smith, our relationship has always been good. It's over the top now. And I trust him with my life, and our families are very close, and so... When he says jump, I still say I'm going to still call him boss, and however I can help this. I believe in Ohio State. I believe in the spirit when you walk around this campus. I believe in Buckeye Nation because I lived it my entire life. I believe that this is a different place, and I want to help in any way I can. And I believe in our new head coach.
Well, that was the story of yesterday, and I mean, it took it during the day as we got word yesterday morning at the end of the show. Urban Meyer retired, had a press conference yesterday, and said, I'm done, and I don't think I'm going to coach again. Health problems, 54 years old, stress.
I don't think I'm going to coach again.
I don't think. Stress, tension, maybe the suspension had something to do with it, but hey, listen. We bust him pretty good. I don't think he's the most honest human being I've heard talk over the years.
It's a good assumption.
But I will say he's a great coach.
Yeah, of course he's a great coach.
And bottom line, I know nobody's going to want to hear this, but bottom line is those guys are paid, and paid a lot of money. He was the second or third highest paid coach, I believe, right behind Nick Saban. And he was paid to win games. He's good. He's a great recruiter. As when you get to recruiting classes, we're so busy talking about Nick Saban's five-star classes. He's right there with them and gets great classes every year. You saw it. You saw it last couple of games. And 17 seasons, 186 wins, 82-9 with Ohio State. About ready to go 83-9 in the Rose Bowl. He's done it all. Listen, I'd have no problem that guy being my head coach because it is, I know nobody wants to hear it, it is totally about winning.
Of course it is.
We can talk about character and all that stuff. And
wins and losses.
It's nice.
National championships.
Look at Nick Saban has had guys that had guns and marijuana in the car, and he made them sit out a game. He didn't kick them off the team. They sat out a game, and then they became first-round picks. So, you know, everybody, you can get on them and the way they handle things, and we'll take care of it. And we looked into it, and we checked the police reports, and we felt, and, you know, and this, and we'll handle it in-house, and there's been a lot of guys do it because bottom line is it's about winning games. And now Urban will say, and one thing, he does take a little shot at himself. Well, maybe I'm guilty of giving guys too many second and third chances.
You think.
But I love my guys, and I'll do whatever it takes. I make promises to their family. So I think he's a real popular guy with the players. I believe most of his players, never when you got 90 guys on your team every year, or 100, not everybody's going to like you. Guys transfer, but I think a lot of guys that played for him really like him. I know the Boza family has got a crush on him. I mean, they love him, and why not?
Sent both their kids there. Both their kids are top picks. One might be the number one pick this year.
Three-year guys, and both going to go in the top five.
Yep.
Both guys. Joey was the first defensive player taken a few years ago and has been a great NFL player. And Nick's about ready to join him with the same kind of talent. So, yeah, those guys and, you know, in the list of guys, and I'm sure a lot of Gator players thought the world of him. Why not? They had a great run. He didn't kick a lot of guys off the team.
No, he did
not. And there were some real screw-ups on that team.
A lot. A lot of
stories through the years, so with all the arrests. But, again, bottom line is, it is.
Wins and losses.
We can sit here and talk about integrity and legacy and bagacy and tragacy. And it's about one thing, man. Winning games.
That's it.
And if you're not going on probation and winning games, you're bending, but you ain't breaking. You're going gray to dark gray.
He lives in that area. That's the difference. But he does some win things. Games.
A lot of guys in the Big Ten, when he first got in there, I said this yesterday, were upset that verbal commitments meant nothing to him except we still got a chance. Until they sign, keep going after him. And he got some guys to flip, got a few Wisconsin players, and they're all upset saying, we don't do that in the Big Ten. That's not the way we do it. We have an agreement. You don't do that. And
Urban basically said, I want to win games, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in the SEC. He saw it.
Is there a rule?
Yeah.
Is there an NCAA rule? Oh, it's just your rule? Oh, no, no, no. The good old boy network of the Big Ten just changed. I'm here.
You think if a guy's in his top three but verbally committed to Michigan, then he's going to say, we lost him. Darn. We lost that guy. Probably not going to send him any more calls or texts. And let's not visit him anymore because – we're third on his list, and Michigan's one. You know what ends up happening there? Full court press on that guy. He learned that in the SEC. He didn't learn that at Bowling Green or Utah. I mean, those are, you know, you weren't recruiting the same guys that some of the top-notch schools were. But when you're at Florida and you're at Ohio State,
I think
much different ballgame.
Yeah, I think the SEC
taught him a lot.
Different animal for recruiting. It's a different way of doing things. I think it's by far the dirtiest recruiting, and it's not even close, from the SEC recruiting has been done down here through the years and the stories that have followed. But you know what? You don't get caught. You know everybody else. And I always hear coaches say this. Well, everybody else is doing it. Of course I'm going to do it to keep up with them. I'm not going to get lost in this. They're not getting in trouble. So I'm going to do it too. And now, not everybody. And there's been some schools, you know, that have been put on probation, have to clean their act up, including Miami Hurricanes now that are real sensitive to everything that goes on around their program because they don't want to go back to where they were before. But you know what? 17 seasons, 186 wins, at Utah, Florida, and Ohio State as a head coach. And more importantly for Ohio State fans, he was 82-9, gave him a lot of Big Ten championships.
National championship.
So, you know, he goes down to me, second best college coach in the business right now, next to the other guy who's not even close, who's a hell of a lot older and ain't even close to quitting because this is his life. I am curious, though, to see how Urban's going to be with all this free time because I always hate this and I roll my eyes. When you talk about health and stuff, it's obvious Urban's got some health issues, and I don't know how serious they are, and I'm not a doctor, and so I don't know what's going on there. It's obvious some stress and tension and things have affected his life, but I always love this one, and they all do this, and it's pretty funny to me because now that I've been around this game, I've heard them all say it. Yeah. Now, these coaches work so much, they miss everything in their kids' life.
Of course.
They just do.
Yeah.
They're never around.
That was Urban's thing at Florida also, health and his kids.
So they talk about, well, I'm going to step back, and it's time I want to go watch my kids play volleyball and basketball and grow up, and my grandkids, I want to get to spend more time with them. Everybody that tells me that later on goes, man, you do that for a little while, and it's like, and how many times can you hold your grandkid, man, with it, you know, pooping on you and stuff? And honey, you want to come over here? And your wife comes over. Isn't this great? Oh, let's go take. What do you want to do? We got a little time to ourselves. Let's go jump in the pool. You want to go for an ice cream? And here's a guy. These guys, and I'm telling you, it's hard for the average person out there to retire.
Sure.
You could say what you want, but I got a guy who just retired from the city, Bob Cooper. And I'm not calling Coop out because I love him. He's a tennis guy, one of the best that we have in South Florida, and he just retired from Plantation Courts. Tennis over there, Veltri Center, it's his baby. He built it up. It's one of the most active tennis courts. So he was getting the itch, so he quit. So I see his daughter go, how's he doing? She goes, oh, man, he didn't know what to do with himself. And I was like, exactly. Can you imagine it for college and pro coaches?
No, I can't.
They're lost, man.
I know.
I'm telling you, we could count. I said it yesterday. So if Urban starts feeling better is my point. I want to see he's only 54. I mean, we saw Butch Davis jump back in his mid-60s.
Butch Davis, Mac Brown, Les Miles. Mid-60s. Yeah.
These are
60-year-olds.
You know, Pete Carroll's in his 70s, yep. Jumping up and down. This is their life. And I understand they all love their family. I'm not saying it's not a matter. It's just you only do so much. Like, I got three daughters. They want to be around me. They you know what? It's nothing against them. I love my kids. They don't all love me, but I love my kids. I love them all. Equally, first batch and second batch, but they got their own life, man. They don't want to be. You know, when I get calls, I almost got it down with two of them, without saying which two. It's like, hi, daddy, and go. Ooh, she needs something. I mean, Dad, you want to go to dinner this week? Yeah, I want to go to dinner. Dad, can I get? Okay, Dad, I want to talk to you about. Oh,
yep.
Here we go.
That's it.
I mean, you just.
It's a little different when your life is structured for 20 hours a day.
Listen, man, two-year-olds don't want to be around you, grandkids. They don't want to be around you full-time. Nice to visit, taking all my pictures with my first granddaughter. She's absolutely beautiful. But I realize my daughter-in-law and son-in-law got their own life, man. Last thing they want to do is see me hanging out. Like, hey, if you don't mind, I'm going to stay in Arizona for 3 straight weeks, and I'll be here every day. And on the weekends, what are we going to do? And they're going, oh, my God. Last thing I want to do is, hey, old man. Go get a life.
Mm. Unless you can babysit full-time at that point, you know.
Oh, nobody wants to babysit. No, there's not a guy out there who wants to babysit full-time.
No, I know that. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just...
You visited me and you want to watch a kid for, you know, 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
I might take advantage of that for a day or two.
I just... So these guys, I'm really curious when Urban, who should be real careful on saying he's not coming back, unless his health's really bad and he's got a bad tumor or something growing in the brain there.
Yeah, but if it was that bad and if it was something where it's realistically a scare, a real big scare health-wise, don't you answer the question yesterday by saying, you know what, I'm not even getting into that right now. My health is is the most important thing? And
I don't know. You know, he didn't always handle things the best
on
that.
No, he's terrible at handling
stuff. So when he kind of left the door open a little bit.
So he's going to be on ESPN in 3 weeks. When is that bowl game over? And then you got a week until that national championship. Maybe. I guarantee you he's on that broadcast.
He needs a little fix. Like, if my team can't be there, maybe I need to be there. But, man, we got coaches driving in right now, and the assistants are just as bad as the head coaches.
Maybe worse.
By the way, most of the assistants beat the head coach in every morning. These guys are nuts, man. You get the X's and O's bug and the recruiting bug this time of year. And, hey, what's Johnny? He's up. He's kind of 50-50 on us. We still got a good chance. All right, so you can't sleep at night thinking about that and drawing up plays. And how do I get my team motivated and ready to go? And, yeah, so I have said the football group, they're the craziest, nuttiest group of – like no life there is.
That's why we love them. They're up early.
They take that 2 week summer vacation, and about halfway through that, I've heard wives go, "Yeah, I lost him. He's already in the office. He's talking to coaches. He's already drawn up plays he wants to do, and some new he wants to try that he thought of in the middle of the night. He got up. I wanted to make love to him, and instead, he's out there on the table drawing something up.
That's right.
Writing his thoughts down." Yeah, man, they're all
it's
nuts.
It's a different world that they live in.
So
we'll never understand.
I don't know. You can give me a list, though. Jimmy Johnson did it, man, and I remember when Jimmy quit, I went, I understand he's a little stressed out right now. It didn't end the way he wanted, and he ain't quitting for good.
Jimmy's a different animal, though, because with Jimmy, he left, and it's like, poof. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. I'll be an analyst.
But that's not,
But that's it.
But he does... Those guys all – he's got a list of guys in the
offseason. That call him in some – that's fine.
And they go down and hang out with him and talk football.
But they're fishing. They're doing his thing while they're doing it. They're not sitting at a table drawing up plays together.
I just think it's really hard for these guys to go cold turkey. Hell, we got some guys that used to be pro coach or coach in high school. Who do I see? One of our coaches is coaching at a high school now. One of our old coordinators. Anyway, hey.
D'Onofrio. Whipple.
No, I don't know what happened to D'Onofrio got another job in Texas somewhere.
How?
That prevent third down defense. It was nice and safe, so they want something where they wouldn't give up
Mark
big plays.
D'Onofrio with no D.
Hey, anyway, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. A lot of stuff going on. How about a coach losing his job, a guy that we're familiar with down here, calling out one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. We're going to have that story for you coming up. Unbelievable. Got a big show set up for you this morning as well, coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. Pete Prisco, CBS NFL man, is going to join us. We're going to talk to him about all this crazy Aaron Rodgers stuff, too, that we'll get into. All right, welcome back, and good morning. Got a lot of stuff going on. Great win for the Panthers last night. Roberto Luongo back after having some knee problems. Gets a shutout last night against the Boston Bruins. This Hoffman pickup. God, I think we should thank his girlfriend or wife or whatever it was that started all the drama, because we got ourselves a hell of a player right now.
Did he score twice last night?
Scored twice.
Jeez.
They're killing it. A couple more power play goals last night. Roberto, though, the story, 33, comes back and gets a shutout.
77th career shutout, by the way.
Comes back and gets another shutout last night. So you just feel like, I know they're one game over 500 now, still down at the bottom, but you just feel like they're so close, if Roberto could stay healthy, to really going on a nice run like they did at the end of last year and get this thing going. So, yeah, Hoffman had a couple of goals last night, 14 on the season for him. Dadonoff had another one. He's got 13. So those two guys really playing well, and the two power play goals last night. As you know, the Miami Heat didn't have a good one last night. They end up scoring 12 points in the third quarter. They seem to, every time we're talking about them losing, they have one of those 12 or 14 point quarters.
The third quarter
again. It was turdy last night, as they're outscored 30-12 in the third quarter. Hassan Whiteside got off to a great start last night. I mean, really jumped out, had a quick 10 points in the first quarter. You're going, uh-oh, He's going big boy double-double tonight. And the next thing you know, with 40 seconds left in the game, he leaves the court, walks off, didn't play in the fourth quarter again, back to that again. And he was upset, obviously, although he went upstairs and shot free throws, which he's been awful on his free throw shooting here. Four for 28, and just bad. But whether he's right or wrong, because there'll be a handful of people say, oh, Son's right, he's got it right, he's mad, what else are you going to do with this coach? Because we blame coaches for everything. And to be honest, Eric Spoelstra doesn't have a lot to work with right now. He really doesn't.
No, he does not. This team is a bunch of average players.
Dragic's hurt. Probably win some of these games if you had him, but he's not there.
He's your best player.
And now all of a sudden Richardson's cooled off. He's been really struggling with his shot. 2 for 14 last night, so he's been off here in his last 3 or 4 games. Anyway, with 40 seconds left, everybody's going through this as a team. You're making $25 million, making you the highest paid player on this team. And you decide with 40 seconds left, you're going to pull one of the greatest immature moves in the history of sports and walk off and leave before the rest of the team. Didn't Odell Beckham do this, leave before the game was over, walked off?
Yes, you did.
I don't care who you are, man.
It shows a huge sign of immaturity with
instead of dealing with everything else, it just adds extra drama to a team. And, you know, it's easy when things are going great and you're scoring and winning and everybody's happy. You ever hear that? We'll learn a lot about certain guys when we're losing and things aren't great. I've learned everything I know, but I already learned a long time ago about Hassan Whiteside. He acts like he's about, I used to say 14 all the time.
No, that's
but for those of you that have mature 14-year-olds out there, it's not fair. So let's go down to 8 or 9, where the kid takes his basketball and leaves early because he's not getting to play a lot in the little 3-on-3 pickup games.
This is Hassan. We saw this, and we've seen this now for a couple of years. The problem is you get locked into this deal, and you have him for 4 years, and then next year it's a player option for $27.1 million. You think he's leaving? You think he's going to opt out because he's got a bigger deal somewhere?
I think it was out to him. He didn't have an agent. If it was up to him, he would because he may not be that smart.
Yeah.
But his agent's going, hey, listen, man, I can do a lot of things for a 7-footer. Can get a lot of rebounds, but
I'm not getting you $30 million.
I ain't getting you that much money on open market. So you better hang on this one, and hopefully they'll buy you out or something because they're tired of your act. And then you can go play somewhere else, but you know you got that money coming in.
Of course, I love the texters. Oh, you got to trade him. You got to trade him. You don't think they've been trying?
Yeah.
You don't think that Pat Riley gets on the phone?
I always love when people just say, what are you going to trade him for?
Yeah. What are you going to get?
Who else is going to trade you?
You
who else is going, oh, yeah, that's just what we need right there. That's what we need, man. We need more drama on our team. We need a guy. I am. I'm really curious to see how the team's going to handle everything.
They have to do something.
They're going to talk to him. He'll come in and
but they just can't let this guy walk off with 40 seconds left and think that we had to talk with him and everything's okay. Oh, really? Okay.
Dwayne was the smartest one. Dwayne said he had to go to the bathroom. That was.
That's
great.
The veteran. That's the veteran answer, right?
He had to go. I don't know what he did. He had to go to the bathroom.
He had to poop. I don't know what he did.
Anyway, it was a bad look last night, and it was also bad in that third quarter, as we mentioned. And of course, the other story coming out, unbelievable yesterday. I'm not afraid when I'm wrong to say I was really wrong. Yesterday, we had an assistant coach who used to play at University of Miami, went to Southridge High School, come out and have some real harsh comments. I'm talking about Winston Moss, Green Bay's assistant head coach, associate head coach, and calls out Aaron Rodgers and ends up 7 or 8 hours later, Joe Philbin called him and said, we got to let you go. Listen to this tweet. What championship teams have our great leadership, period? It's not the offense guru trend. It's not the safe trend. Find somebody that is going to hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a Lombardi standard, period. Ouch. You cannot call out a quarterback.
No, not Aaron
more
Rodgers.
Than that. Of course, he's been a coach the whole time that McCarthy's been there. And Wow. That was powerful. Ended up costing him his job.
Of course.
But wanted to make a point like this is enough about coaching, stale coaching. And
he's been with Green Bay since 2006.
That. Yeah. Anyway, he had been there a long time and grew up down here in South Florida. But he finally just came out and said, find somebody that's going to hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a Lombardi standard, period. I went, wow.
Yeah,
not from a reporter.
No.
That's not from a former player.
Mm-mm.
That's from the guy that's closest to the head coach, former head coach in the building. Cost him his job.
Yep.
By the way, he had to know when he wrote that he was done.
Yeah, I think that he thought he was going to be in trouble.
Because everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers ain't going anywhere.
No,
just
what
got
do you
$135
mean?
million, $33.5 million a year. He ain't going anywhere.
I know he was emotional, but you got to think twice about it. It comes down to the same thing we talk about all the time. The bottom of each tweet, there's that send button or that blue tweet button that you push to send that tweet out to the world. Got to think twice.
I know
Winston Moss was pissed, but
I wonder if he
twice.
Has any regrets. He's still going to get paid, get paid the rest of it, but he's a young guy. I think he's in his early 50s. Just, I kind of said it all, though. When you hear from a coach that, you know, usually coaches take the high road and disappear and don't want to blow up the fraternity and make sure they're good for another job down the road, which, by the way, when they're a former Green Bay Packer, he will get another head coaching job. And when he does, he'll have Winston Moss with
That's
him,
right.
I guess.
Take him right with him. Yep.
So, bad look, though, for Aaron Rodgers. We ever see anything like this where so many people,
it's ugly there,
including
in
his brother.
Yeah, I know.
Come out and ripped him about his treatment of the mother and father for years of not talking to him.
Well, he said it was when he donated, the $1 million to the fire fund or whatever
it
is out
there. They're out there in the Paradise Fire Fund. That's
his
where they live.
His brother literally said, what a crock this guy is.
Yeah. By the way, you give $1 million, why don't you check on mom to see how she's doing out there?
I read that and I was like, man. Anytime I get into a fight with my brother, it's nothing compared to this.
No, this is a weird
is something different. He's a weird dude. Aaron Rodgers is a weird dude, huh?
Correct.
Like, I mean, not that I think that everyone's just normal, he's a weird dude.
Told you for years from guys that have played with him, unless you're one of his guys that have played with him, goes way back, man. Very super talented.
Yeah,
nobody's questioning that.
No one's questioning that. It's off the field weirdness.
Leadership.
It's his personality. It's his leadership.
There must have been a lot more. Of course, Aaron Rodgers trying to downplay. Yeah, we had our agreements, disagreements, but everybody. It is true, by the way, the coach and the superstar quarterback, it's not always a love affair. I mean, I can see it with Drew Brees always being really good, but you can see Tom Brady. I know Dan Marino used to go at it with his coordinators and coaches about what he wanted to do and they wanted to do. I think most of the great ones go at it pretty good.
I can
with
imagine.
Guys calling plays.
Sure.
And especially as you get older, because you want to call more of your own stuff. You want to have more freedom to call stuff because you're out there and you like a play more than the coach likes the play.
Sure.
Coach has been studying coverages and says, I don't think this is good. And you're going, no, hell no, it's good. And I'm going to that guy. And give me better players. So.
You don't think it's tough coaching Brady or Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers? Drew Brees, Philip Rivers.
That's a great. You know what, Zach? That's a great. You see Tom Brady go at it with his guys
all the time.
You know, it doesn't affect their relationship at all. So I don't read into it when I see quarterbacks going crazy on their coordinator or yelling at some. I've just always said, yeah, they're going to have that. They're together all the time. The coordinator and the quarterback, and if the coach calls the plays and is a form of a coordinator, you're going to have a lot of disagreements.
How many players?
By the way, if you don't, you got a little bitch in you like you
That's
should.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
If you're just yes sir to everything he throws out and you're going, no. I've been watching and I like this. A good coordinator or play caller goes, all right, this is what he likes and he feels comfortable with it. I think I can make it work.
Quarterback coach, coordinator, and three quarterbacks in a room. That's the meeting room. When they meet and they go over stuff, and you don't think that one of those guys, if he doesn't like what he says, stands up and says it. Peyton goes, I'm not really, I don't like that. We need to go here on this play and go here, there, and blah, blah, blah. Like, they go at it. I'm sure they do. And the best, you get to that point where it's the Marinos of the world and the Peyton Mannings of the world and the Bradys of the world.
But they spend so much time watching tape, too, and they feel like they got a good feel for everybody and everything and matchups and all that stuff. And, hey, I want to attack this, and I like this on first down, and, hey, third down and long, I think this will work. And you're going through, hey, they blitz a lot, let's do it. So a lot of stuff going into it. But, yeah, that one. That didn't end pretty. Aaron Rodgers, oh boy, getting called out by assistant head coach who lost his job. We got 7 o'clock hour. We're not going to lose our job because we're going to stay on time here. A lot more stuff to get to. A crazy day yesterday. A lot of crazy stuff going on. We'll get you caught up here in the 7 o'clock hour. Pete Prisco is going to join us. The Panthers head coach after a 5-0 win is going to join us this morning. The Boogeyman, Armando Salguero, will get us caught up as we look ahead to Sunday's game with a big, bad Brady bunch coming to town. All that stuff straight ahead. Radio.com. Radio.com.